Hello there, and welcome to the all-new Kicking It with the Colonels podcast, the official podcast of EKU Athletics. I'm your host, Wes Chandler. These gentlemen right here need no introduction, but I'm going to do my job anyway. And just in case you've been living under a rock, we are joined by A.W. Hamilton, the head coach of Eastern Kentucky. We got two superstars in the building today, Devontae Blanton and Isaiah Cozart, who we spoke with the fire marshal earlier to make sure we had two players so hot to end the year could be in the same building, so it is okay. So we got that cleared, and you won't find two better players that finish the year hotter than these two guys right here. Guys, thanks for joining us on the Kicking It with the Colonels.
No problem.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Cozy's fighting this smile. It's all right. Hey, you had 31-17.
I'm trying to be professional.
So before we started this, he was smiling, right? When he took my chair.
That's fine. I want to thank you, the fans, for making us part of your day as well. And each episode in Kicking It with the Colonels, we are going to have a special guest or guest we will talk with. We'll talk some sports. We'll talk off-the-field developments as well and give you, the fans, a behind-the-scenes experience of EKU Athletics. And I have the focus on EKU basketball here in this episode, and it truly was an impressive season for EKU basketball. 23 wins, guys, and capped by just an unbelievable run in the CBI and making it all the way to the championship game. Coach, I want to start with you. And now that you've had a couple days to process this season, can you put into words what this season meant for you and the guys?
This was I'm so proud of these guys. It goes back to this summer, just how this group came together. And, I mention this all the time, so people will probably get tired of me saying this, but you talk about family, and coaches talk about families. These guys are a real family. They really love each other. They really sacrifice for each other. They're really there for each other. Their bond in the locker room is incredible. When we travel, the relationships are incredible, how much they're together and how much they're always for each other. You know, my brother passed away this summer, and it was tough. It was the toughest thing I ever had to deal with. The pain will never go away. But I remember the visitation. I look over. There's hundreds of people coming in, and I see the entire team come in. And then the next day at the funeral, our family walks in, and I look over in the left pew. The whole team's in the left pew. And what these guys did for me was really special. I'll never be able to repay them, because this has been a tough year personally. But for the joy they brought me, like, it was in practice, like, being with these guys. These guys never had a bad day. Now, this is the first time I told them that. I'm only going to tell them that. Then, next year they'll have some bad days, because sometimes I create bad days. Like, remember when I threw you out of practice, the whole team?
Yeah, remember that one.
It worked, though, didn't it?
A couple times.
But these guys, they just they're so much fun to coach. They're so much fun to coach because they're great young people.
Absolutely, and that's just incredible. What about you guys? Can you put into words what this season meant for you all?
Man, I mean, it's been special, just tell you that. Just first of all, the guys that, I've been around, like Coach, when he says, like, we're a family, like, he's not exaggerating, like, the whole team, I think just kind of a group of brothers. I think we've all grown closer, and, Coach, he's done a real good job, managing to get us close, which at the start of the summer I didn't think was going to be possible, because we had so many new guys coming in. I was new, we only had, like, was it two, three?
Five guys.
Five guys? Yeah. So, I mean, it was just, it was a great, great season that I think, us being together for so long just kind of helped it. We went to the Bahamas and stuff. I think that was the first time where I was like, I kind of like hanging out with these guys a little bit,
Well, what I remember was when you getting on that tube at Lake Cumberland.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I do. Remember when he got on that tube?
He etched that real quick.
I didn't ride the tube that day.
Well, I know. You chickened out. You wouldn't even get on the water.
Yeah, I'm not that big of a swimmer, so.
We'll get them this summer.
Oh, I got you.
Well, I mean, you even said this year you didn't know that some of the stuff that you've done this year was possible for in your game.
No. I mean, if you told me, like, I don't know, like a year ago or something, that I was going to be, like, starting and, going for, like, 20, 31 points in a game, I Might have just laughed at you. I ain't gonna lie.
You can say you went for 31-17. You can say that.
I got the exact stat. It's just been great. I mean, I've been saying it time and time again. I give it all to God. I mean, you know, the whole season that I've had and stuff, especially just, you know, for one season doing all I did. I mean, I just, you know, I'm grateful, not just to the guys and the coach, but also, yeah, you know, just family for kind of coaching me through it.
Tay, what about you?
It's been amazing, to say the least. I've never been a part of a team. Every team I've been on has been a family, but this year has been different. Like, everybody just clicked. Like you said, when we're in the locker room, you can just feel the energy. We never have a day where we're arguing with each other. It's just brotherly love every day. And I owe that all to Coach, because, like you said, when we first brought us in, he said he wanted us to be a player-like program, holding ourselves accountable, you know. And every day we push each other. And through that push, through that adversity, we built a bond that will never break from when we lead this to when we old man one day drinking beer or whatever.
I agree with his entire statement except for the arguing part. That one?
But you know how brothers argue.
It's just a matter of fact.
Yeah. But, you know, it's been amazing. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Now, you come from Ohio. You're from right here in Richmond. Kind of tell us what your recruiting process was like. How did you wind up at EKU, both of y'all?
So
you want to talk about why you said no first?
I knew he was going to say that.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Always better the second time around.
As a senior, EKU was actually my very first offer, like in general, like for college. I think I got offered my sophomore year, just kind of like interest type stuff. And then senior year, they, you know, gave me an official like offer, said, you know, why don't you come down? And I'm, you know, no fault to A-Dub. I mean, he pulled out all the stops when I went down there for my first visit. He definitely showed out.
I appreciate that. 100%. The fans need to hear that. Yeah. I was all in trying to get you.
He definitely showed out 100%. You know, just different. Back then I had, you know, different interest in going places and, you know, at the time, WKU just looked more appealing, a little more appealing. but they, you know, when they reached out to me again, my junior year, which when I first put my name in the transfer portal, I really didn't know, like, you know, if I was even going to get any D1 offers, because nobody had seen me play in like almost three years. So, you know, when I got EKU, when they, I think it was Coach Allen, he called me first. I was surprised, just shocked almost, like they, you know, still kind of, you know, wanted to see what I could do. And, you know, I wanted to prove that I, you know, could still play, you know, after all that time. So, you know, we met up with each other. I think it was Coach Allen and Coach A-Dub that came down to Bowling Green to kind of talk. And we kind of, you know, settled some things, and I went on a visit, and rest is history.
So through high school, I was dealing with some knee injuries, stuff like that. And my recruiting process kind of like went downhill. A lot of schools stopped calling. And Eastern Kentucky came calling on the door, Coach Lepore. We actually went to the same high school, yep. St. Ed's. And I didn't really know much about Eastern Kentucky. I didn't know really what to expect. It was during COVID, so I couldn't take a visit. Coach Lepore was FaceTiming me, walking around campus, showing me campus, all that type of stuff. But I ended up talking to my brother, and he was just like, trust Lepore. He's a family friend, known since I was like 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And that's just what I ended up doing. I ended up trusting Lepore, and it's been amazing for me.
So do you and Coach like trade like restaurant spots to say, hey, check this out? How do you work that?
Me and Lepore, we just got a special bond.
They argue a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They really argue a lot.
And Coach, what was it that made you want to ultimately decide, say, hey, I want to recruit these guys?
Well, I'll start with Cozy. When I first got the job, you know, one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to recruit the state of Kentucky. I'm proud of Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky guy. And, you know, so recruiting Cozy and Michael Marino was a priority for us. We were able to get Michael, and we went all in on Cozy. I loved Cozy. He had great instincts. He could block shots. He ran really well. He's got great hands. And he played for a great coach, a Hall of Fame coach. And so you knew you were getting somebody that was going to be ready to play. And unfortunately, we didn't get Coz, but, you know, God has a plan, and he's in charge, and he knew. And so it wasn't the right time. And then I never gave up on Coz. I told him when he called me and said, "Coach, I'm not going to be coming to Eastern." I said, "That's okay. You know, if it doesn't work out at your next, it's the spot you go to, you can always come home." And so when he got into the portal, we were able to go down and meet in a nice coffee shop there in Bowling Green. We had a really good conversation. He's got wonderful parents that I think the world of. And, you know, we were able to get Cozy on an official visit, and things just fit right. And it was the right time for Coz to come to Eastern. Tay-Tay was a superstar. We knew Tay-Tay was a superstar. He's got his mind is so sharp. His basketball mind is so sharp. Now, I get on him all the time because he's really smart in the classroom too, and he'll get a little bit lazy. Right? but he's such a smart basketball player, and he's got great size, and his brother was a big-time player. His dad's a great coach. He just comes from a basketball family, and St. Ed's is probably the premier high school in the state of Ohio. So we knew what the type of player we were getting. And I'm proud of him because his development. His freshman year, like, it was COVID. He got quarantined twice. And, like, you know, and that was, like, 10 days. And, you know, here, you'd have to move to a different dorm. And that was tough. And it was hard for Tay-Tay to get into a rhythm. And we had a really good team. He came in with Wendell Green. And we had a great class and Cooper Robb. And but I'm proud of Tay because – he's a worker, he's a grinder, and he kept competing, and he got so much better. And then at the end of the year, I mean, when we beat Belmont in here and broke their 30-game OVC winning streak, it was like he was the key. And then we get to the OVC tournament, we're going against Terry Taylor. Austin Peay had a really good team, and Tay-Tay was a difference maker in that game, and we were able to win that game. And then his second year, he's like he takes this big jump. And he's having an all-conference type of season, and he breaks his toe 4 games into league play. And that's hard. That's hard. That's hard to deal with. It's hard to play with. And we were basically – we had Jeff Carrico put him in a boot. So he didn't practice. We couldn't practice anymore because it was like we couldn't aggravate that toe. So we basically just put him in a boot. We get him to game day. We take the boot off, and we'd be like, all right, Tay, go warm up. And, you know, and then Tay would come back to the locker room and say, "Coach, I feel good. I'm going to go." And then Jeff would come in behind him and say, "I don't know if Tay can really go tonight." But, you know, he battled through that and got us through the year. And I'm proud of him because we had so many injuries we dealt with. We got down to like 7 guys. Yeah. And Tay-Tay and Cooper Robb and Michael Marino just willed us through that season. And then, you know, Tay-Tay made another big jump. And, you know, the year he had this year was historic. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was, you know, you look at the ending to our games. You know, I think we're 14-6 in 2-possession and overtime games. And you look at those 14 wins and you think about all the magical plays that Tay-Tay made for other people, big shots he made. I'm really proud of him. And what I'm so excited for is he's going to take another jump. Cozy's going to take a big jump. Like, the momentum that Cozy got from the CBI was huge.
Absolutely.
Because Coz, you know, sometimes he gets mad at me, but, like, I'm all over Cozy in practice about demanding the ball because I know he can score for us. And then for him to get 31 points, he finally looked at me, but he didn't say it, but he gave me the look like, man, maybe the coach is
maybe right.
You're right. Yeah, maybe the coach is right. Like, I can really score for us.
He might know a thing or two.
So then we have our end-of-the-year meeting, and Coach said he wants to start shooting 3s. So I don't know if we got there yet.
I said middies.
You
I
got
said
the offseason to work on
that. About 3s, and I said, let's start with mid-range. And I told him, I said, you know what a mid-range shot is? Tell you, you'll like this. I said, a free throw. Mm-hmm.
That's a lost art.
I'm just saying.
Game.
I'm not saying anything about your free throws. You made a couple big free throws in the CBI, but I'm just saying. I brought the stat sheet just in, so you got it. Okay. Yeah, so this cool, is a fun yeah. conversation. Yeah. Right?
Well, the announcement has been made that the core of this team will return for next year, and with the exception of Cooper Robb, and that just escalates all that positive momentum.
And Weston, and I don't want to forget Michael Wardy.
Right, exactly. Michael Wardy as
Michael
well.
Wardy, he was Michael Wardy's father is battling cancer, and Wardy went through a lot. But Wardy's a big part of this program and
absolutely.
Our success this year. He's one of our team captains.
Yeah, absolutely. And he made some really big plays when EKU needed him the most. But talk about the positive momentum. He ended the CBI on a great run, and the core of this team is returning, and it's going to be a really good season, you think, heading into next year. Whoever wants to take it first.
Let's let Cozy get us started.
I'm always getting it first, though.
I mean, leadoff hitter.
Yeah. I'm like, for any team to get their original core coming back, like for next year, it's phenomenal. Like, just, especially our team was, not very kind of young. Like, we had two very young guards that, had an excellent season, and T-Dot and Leland. And, them coming back and having a season under their belt and experience is going to be great. Mike, obviously Marino, he's coming back and stuff, and that's going to be, huge just in terms of team leadership and having a guy that knows what he's doing. And, DJ and Darden, Capiti, them, they're all coming back. Great core bench with Turner Buttry and Jackson, who I think, are definitely going to have a breakout year. This year coming up. So, I mean, just, having all those, those guys, and even, Dave, one of our redshirt bigs who's, going to come, probably come back and.
He fouls you a lot, Dave. You can say that.
Tiny bit. But, no, I mean, he's, I think we're just going to be so much, better as a team, so much stronger, especially after the CBI tournament, knowing what it takes to
right.
to get to, a championship and to try and win it, and going through all those games and those battles and trying to, mitigate injuries and also just, keep guys fresh. I think, we're going to have a real big opportunity for us next year coming up.
Absolutely.
I'll say it's like my first year since I've been here, since like we had everybody come back. And like with our press and how we press, it's a lot to teach. So just that alone, everybody knowing what they're doing. The freshmen becoming sophomores, so they become veterans now.
Right.
So that's just huge. Like Cole said, they get a year under their belt, which is big because college basketball and high school basketball are two different things. The game speed's different. The scouting report's different. They're not really raking in high school like that, so mm-hmm. or learning how to play off 2 feet. But the CBI was an amazing experience. It just showed us what it takes to get to the championship. We know what it takes to get to the championship. And, just looking at other teams and what they do and what they build off of when their whole team come back, just looking at FAU. Who's in the Final Four right now.
Right.
Their whole team came back from last year. Just knowing your system, knowing what you're supposed to do is just huge when you want to win and become a championship team. So that's just a big thing.
And it gave these guys tournament experience, playing short turnaround and, the prep, 4 games in 4 days. It gives these guys some tournament experience, Coach.
It does. And, sometimes you got to – and I want these guys, and we haven't done this yet, but we'll sit back and we'll reflect – more on this season when the time's right. But these guys, it's the most postseason wins at Eastern Kentucky since 1945. It's remarkable, what they did. And I told them before the season, I said, my goal is, obviously I walk in the locker room with the ladder. So the goal is we want to win a championship. That's the given goal. That's what we're here to do, to win a championship. And I said I want them to be so invested into each other, into the university, into our community, that if we lose our last game, I want everybody in the locker room. My goal was for everybody to be crying because it meant that much. And when we got beat by Liberty, we lost a heartbreaking game. We had a 13-point lead in that game. We had beat Liberty earlier in the year. Then we played them again at their place, and we lost a heartbreaker. And that game hurt. That loss hurt. And I walked in that locker room. I carried Tay-Tay to the locker room. He was in full tears, and I walked in, and it worked. These guys were really invested. And when I told them that they had an opportunity and we got invited to play in the CBI, and we talked about what the CBI was and who had played in the CBI, who had won the CBI, what teams that played in the CBI had done after they played in the CBI. Look at FAU. You know, now they're in the Final Four. You look at Drake. You know, they had an unbelievable season. You look at UNC Asheville. They had an unbelievable season. And you look back at the past, the CBI, you know, it was just year after year after year after year. But the awesome thing that these guys, they wanted to keep playing. They wanted to keep practicing. They wanted to go to Florida. They wanted to represent Eastern Kentucky. They wanted to be together, and they wanted to try to win a championship. And it was a pretty special run they went on because, you know, we were down in every game. Mm-hmm. You know, we were down to Cleveland State. We were down like 13 points. You know, we get the game to overtime. You know, there's so many plays that happen. Then we get the game into overtime. We go on a 17-1 run. Then we play the number one seed, and we get down again. You know, Tay-Tay has a career high, 32 points, and we just find a way to win at the end of the game. You know, Cozy comes up with a big block, and then we get into the Southern Utah game. We go to double overtime. You know, but the really cool thing was everybody played a big part in that, whether it was Michael getting us energized in the Cleveland State game, making a couple big threes and really getting us going, or whether it was Johnny, you know, getting his blocks, Turner coming in and making shots. I could go on and on, especially our young guards, the growth that they made. Darden Capiti played real well. But the thing that I will remember forever is how Cooper Robb got to end his career.
Yeah.
Because Cooper Robb has been such an important piece to this program. Like, our brand is the most exciting 40 minutes in sports, but our identity is 40 tough. You know, we're going to guard. We're going to guard you 94 feet. We're going to put pressure on you both ends of the floor. We're going to dive after every loose ball. We're going to take charges. We always got each other's back. And that's how we do it every day, how we lift weights, how we attack our academics. And for Cooper Robb, who is 40 tough, who left that legacy here, for him to be able to take his jersey off at the end of that game, he took it off and he knows he gave it everything he had. Mm-hmm. There was nothing left. You know, he left it all out on the floor. And, you know, how he willed us to that comeback was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it says a lot about his character and his statement. He certainly did that for Eastern Kentucky. So how long before the preparations begin for next year? I know it really never stops as a head coach, but what about you guys?
After a season, I like taking a break, you know.
Absolutely.
Season's like, it's just a long commitment. Yeah, it's a grind for sure. But like you say, it really never stops, you know. But to answer your question, usually after every Final Four, we get back in the weight room, and then it starts from there. Train every rep like it's your last. And then we're going to probably start pick up pretty soon, getting back in the gym, getting back with the guys, and then get ready for summer.
As he gets a drink of water right here.
Yeah. No, I mean, same thing.
Same thing.
Like, you know, especially like with the whole CBI tournament playing like four games, technically five games, the kind of overtimes we had in 4 days. It's just, you know, it's a pretty big commitment. So, you know, just, yeah, about a week or so of rest, and then once the Final Four is over, get back in the weight room, attack the weights, and then get into individuals the next week, and we'll be good to go.
And for all three of you, because basketball takes up so much of your time, don't get a chance to do a lot of stuff you want to do personally. So on the rare occasion you do get that chance, what do y'all like to do?
we like, don't know if we both on the game, basically.
Like a video game?
Yeah, we both
all
on
right.
the video game. Yeah, I mean – you know, I've been grinding hard on the game for 4 days.
If the college basketball video game came out again, what would be your rating?
Oh,
at least 80.
80?
Yeah,
all right. 80. I have to give myself a good 85.
It went up since you got it.
Yeah. I started out.
Player development.
Right.
99 block for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. Right. Still a shame he was not conference player of the year defensively.
My player. I went through a whole my player arc this season. But, yeah, I'd say around like 80, 85.
Well, what would your rating be?
I say about 85 rating.
99 mid-range specialist.
Yeah, 99 mid-range. Yeah.
Coach, what do you like to do?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I'm so invested in this, and I love being the coach here. You know, my family and my kids and my wife, and we pour everything we got into Eastern Kentucky. And so I love these guys. The off season is fun because we get to build the player, you know, and they get older, they get smarter. And so I look forward to the off season. You know, I get to spend more time with my wife and kids, which is great. I get to spend more time with my parents in Georgetown, which is really exciting. So other than that, I really don't have many hobbies. This is who I am. Basketball, you know, basketball.
All day, every day. Yeah.
You don't golf or anything?
I do not golf. I do not golf. But if you want to golf, we can go out there. That way we can spend some time together because I know you like spending time with me.
You know what's
Cozy
really,
avoids me at all costs.
If I golf, I'm definitely going to hit somebody.
You know what's really fun is Topgolf. Have you all ever Topgolf?
I've never played Topgolf.
It's really fun.
For real?
You can like make a day out of it. They bring you food. It's really fun.
Is there one out here in Kentucky?
The closest one is Cincinnati. They're building one in Louisville right now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's I slice a bunch and they go like bonkers, but it's really fun if you enjoy golf. Yeah. All right. So what's the earliest basketball memory you all have? And coach, you played, you can answer that as well.
Man, I didn't start playing like actual basketball till I was, I think around 13, 14. So like right before high school. So I think like probably when I was in eighth grade, we won our like regional championship. I forgot what it's called, regional or district. Or
it looks at me, no, you know, like think I'm on question.
Help me out here, coach.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I distinctly remember that game. It was a good game, but I got no points. 15 rebounds, like 5 blocks.
Nice. That's,
yeah. So.
My whole life been basketball, really, since I came out the womb. I just remember my favorite memory is, like, watch my brother playing Final Fours, him playing Michigan State National Championship game. I was probably about, like, 5-6 years old watching him play that. And those experiences are just amazing, something you just never forget. Just seeing all the different colors in the crowd.
Right.
It's amazing. I can't put it in words how.
And something you want to go to as a player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You want to live that.
Yeah, that's my biggest dream. Leading us to the Final Four. Forget Sweet 16. I'm trying to lead us to like the biggest stage possible, and that's my goal.
Start with the end in mind.
Yes, sir.
Coach.
You know, this is fresh in my mind, so I'm going to say this, and I know Cozy's looking at me right now, so this is going to be really good. This is going to be really good. We just celebrated the 25th anniversary of our 1998 state championship team at Scott County. And it makes me feel old, but that was a great memory. So, Ben, it's fresh in my mind because it just happened. It happened at this year's Sweet 16. We were at the CBI, but all of my teammates and former coaches got recognized in the at halftime of the semifinal game. So that's pretty cool. It brought back a lot of great memories.
Yeah, awesome. And last question for you.
All right.
Not just all right. That's that Madison Central coming out in
right,
you.
Right.
We're all together, though.
Last question for you guys is, what kind of, like, pregame ritual do you have? Everybody's got their own superstitions.
Well, for me.
Let's hear it.
For me, I got a ritual before every game is, before pregame, our pregame meal, I got to go to sleep. I walk down there, like, get my little play or whatever, and make sure I'm the first one up there, turn all the lights off, go to sleep for an hour, and then take a shower, get my hair right. You know, you got to look good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Got to look good for the cameras, and then listen to my music. That's my pregame.
What's the motto? If you look good, feel good, play good, yeah.
And if you play good, they pay good.
Right, exactly.
I ain't gonna lie, I got a slightly weird. I think everybody on the team knows what I do for pregame. It's slightly. I got so basically, I have to get ready like I'm getting ready for going on a date. basically. Okay. I get the deodorant on and stuff.
That's important.
I brush my teeth and got to comb the hair. That's like almost an obsession. I got to make sure my hair is combed and stuff. And after that, I wash my face and I'll be good to go.
That's so awesome.
That takes like around 10, 15 minutes.
I just pace around here nonstop. I get dressed way too early and I just pace around. I get so anxious and excited for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, I want to thank you for your time. Appreciate it so much. This was a blast. I had fun talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's A.W. Hamilton, Devontae Blanton, and Isaiah Cozart, our guest here on the episode of Kicking It with the Colonels. I'm Wes Chandler. Until next time, thanks for Kicking It with the Colonels.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. That was fun. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks. This Topgolf is amazing. You guys
absolutely.
I've been to Topgolf. It's